Hi, everybody, and welcome to our continuing work with video commentary on letters on occult meditation, especially focusing on letter 9 right now, which is the last thing we will do because letter 10 and 11 are completed after a fashion. DK is talking about how we can all expect a great day of opportunity if we qualify ourselves by doing the necessary work. He asks us to study with greater aspiration and do that work. And he divides the work into four sections. And they are as follows. Recognize the divine within each one. Think always in group terms, and think for oneself without always depending upon the word of others for clarification. Then endeavor to purify and refine all the bodies, making them more reliable servants. And then equip your mental vehicle factually. Store within it the facts upon which extended knowledge can be based. And if this is done, great will be the day of opportunity. So that we took that up a couple of days ago. And now we will continue this work with the new esoteric schools from 100 years ago, 100 years and a few months. he's quite demanding in the rigid disciplining of yourself comes eventual perfection. To the disciple, naught is too small to undertake. For in the, here's the rigid word again, in the rigid adjustment of the details of the lower world life comes at the end attainment of the goal. Well, when you see the picture of Master DK, you maybe kind of understand that though loving kindness is there in abundance, still he is demanding because he knows what it takes in order to fit oneself truly for the goal. The life of the disciple, let us be warned, becomes not easier as the gate, capital G, probably the portal of initiation, as the gate is neared. But ever the watch must be more thorough, ever right action must be taken with no regard to result, and ever each body in all its aggregate of detail must be wrestled with and subjugated. I think I'm remembering that Jeffrey Hodson kind of talked about the combat style of each one of the ray types, and the wrestling grip was connected with the second ray. So no stone is left unturned and no detail is left unattended. In the case we thought, well, you know, at one point he tells us that the period between the second and third initiation may entail the most suffering. However, he's not making it sound like the watchfulness can be in any way abated, but rather is intensified, and this idea of working without attachment to results. You do the right thing and results will come, but we cannot ever think of the results and therefore refrain from doing the right thing. And each body in all its aggregate of detail must be wrestled with and subjugated. So only in the thorough comprehension of the axiom, know thyself, it involves much more than we may normally think when we see those two fairly innocuous words. Only in the thorough comprehension of the axiom, know thyself, will come the understanding which enables man to wield the law and know the inner working of the system from the center to the periphery. Struggle, strive, discipline, and rejoicingly serve with no reward save the misunderstanding and abuse of those who follow after. This is the role of the disciple. Does that appeal to you? Does it appeal to me? Struggle, strive, discipline. There's a, it's made into a verb. And rejoicingly serve with no reward save the misunderstanding of those who follow after. If we're worried about how they will react when we initially begin to do our work, we will never successfully do our work. Okay, so that was a little bit of a segue, and now we're dealing with a third point. It becomes more and more concrete. The location, personnel, and building of the occult school. And as I say, I have friends who have seized upon this quite literally and made designs, you know, and for the coming schools of occultism. But I guess you can't build a building unless those who are to dwell within it are qualified to be there and can follow the requirements and the curriculum that is set up. And that is by no means yet fully the case, though preparation can be made. Here at the outset, he says, I would remind you that much which might be said by me on this matter must remain unsaid for lack of the ability to comprehend. Well, you know, he's talking about the comprehension level of those who were just beginning to read the books of Alice Bailey 100 years ago. But then is it so much different today? Disturbed as we have been by horrific world war and atomic threats and rebellions going on everywhere and assertions from dictatorial religions about their need to conquer all other religions, you know, it's been a difficult experience, which has, interfered with much that might have been planned. Okay, I have a little trouble here with my mouse. I might lay down certain approximate rules. He's careful not to draw the boundary too tight, lest we become hidebound in our expectations. I might lay down certain approximate rules and make certain fundamental suggestions that may find their place in the final working out. Now, you know, look at those words, might and may. Maybe. But at least a direction is indicated. And we can work along the lines of those, of the indicated direction. I can lay down, I'm having a difficulty here. I'm sorry. Difficult to know what it is, but I'm hoping that the cat ate my wire, and I've tried to get it back together. Okay, I might lay down certain approximate rules. Yes. That may, and suggestions, fundamental suggestions that may find their place in the final working out. We cannot be utterly certain. I can lay down no rule that must be kept. Such is not the occult law, because flexibility must be accounted for, and an adept adapts. In the establishment of these occult schools, in their two divisions, preparatory and advanced, in the different designated centers under one of the four branches of the one fundamental school of occultism, the work will begin in an inconspicuous manner. Now, we don't expect to have the 21-gun salute and the cannons blazing. It's quiet, incipient work. And those pupils and advanced egos whose work it is to make the necessary beginning must find out for themselves the method, place, and manner. So there is the necessity to follow the indications, and maybe we will hit upon what is correct. Already there are those who have made some small attempts at beginning, and you can feel the ferment. You can feel the preparation going on, whether in Sweden or California, or there are various places where this can occur. So all must be wrought out in the furnace of endeavor and experiment, and the price paid will be high. But only that which is thus wrought out provides the residue or nucleus upon which further work may be based. So the methods and means are not handed to us if we are among those who are preparing. Well, I've already seen that that is the case, and one enters perhaps with high expectations only to discover that much more work needs to be done. Mistakes matter not, naught but the fleeting personalities suffer. What does matter is lack of aspiration, inability to attempt, and incapacity to learn the lesson that failure teaches. Well, you know, so this is encouraging. It's a great attitude towards failure, and we all enter into failure, temporary failure along the way, at least personal failure. When failures are regarded as valuable lessons, I keep on noting how one point after another is learned about something small like computer management. Oh, I didn't press that button, you know, but now I will. When failures are regarded as valuable lessons, when a mistake is deemed but a warning signal and averts from disaster in the future, and when no time is ever lost, ever, by a disciple in vain despair and useless self-depreciation, then the watching teachers of the race know that the work of the ego, the work the ego seeks to do through each expression on the lower plane, that is, through each human being who's working along these lines and who is impulsing certain projects, that the work the ego seeks to do through each expression on the lower plane goes forward as desired, and that success must inevitably eventuate, maybe not at first. We will here take up each detail of our subject as enumerated above by itself. So this is the attitude that we have to have when undertaking to prepare an aspect of the divine plan. So if we are to rightly prepare an aspect of the divine plan, this is the attitude towards failure. Which we must assume. Well, the strides of the masters cover centuries. We're used to thinking in the much shorter term, in terms of the personality duration, which is slight compared with that of the soul. So we have to develop the soul perspective on all these matters that have to do with the founding of the new esoteric schools. And, you know, the people that are going to be involved with the new church organism, with the new Masonic organism too, must think in the long term. So, first of all, this issue of the location. I think some very concrete-minded individuals may think that's even the most important. While it is very important, it is only one of several considerations. This is a matter of very real importance, but differs according to the need of finding a situation whereon to found a preparatory or an advanced school. You know, the occultist works from above and within to below and without. So the location is finally an important point, but it has to follow upon the readiness of the inner work to precipitate. Generally speaking, for national requirements vary much. The school for the preparatory work will be situated within reasonable distance of some big center or city, whilst the school for the advanced grades will be more isolated and not so easily accessed. I guess that's important because there are certain types of supplementary education which the attendees of a preparatory school have to be able to access, and the interior nature of the quest for those involved in the advanced school does not brook much interruption, and there's maybe less to be gathered from an outer cultural center, such as, what is to say, some big center or city. Let us look into this for a moment. One of the fundamental things that the novitiate has to learn is to find his center within himself, independent of surrounding circumstances, and preferably, these days anyway, in the West, in spite of surrounding circumstances. In other words, I keep on thinking about the story about how some of the great musicians could write significant pieces of music in a bar or an inn on a napkin, you know, oblivious to what was going on about them. They could concentrate inwardly sufficiently to do that. Mozart, Schubert. I think I've mentioned, though, that others require the dead stillness of midnight, like Puccini with his operas. Little bits of thing, you know, stories you pick up as you study in the field. But finding the center within oneself, independent of surrounding circumstances. And I guess that's especially so for the advanced types, because it's very deep subject of esoteric work that's undertaken there. The center, but even so, it looks like he's saying that even in the preparation for passing to the advanced grades has to involve that finding of the center. The center must be found to a considerable degree before he can pass on to the more advanced grades and work in the second school. And I think in any one incarnation, it would be ideal in one's education to be able to spend as much time as may be needed in the preparatory area. For some, it might be a year. For some, it might be 7 years. Or, you know, readiness is not defined by a specific number of years in attendance in the preparatory school. So anyway, the center has to be found to a considerable degree before he can move on to the advanced school. And then, you know, we've been studying ourselves with the Arcane School, School of Esoteric Studies, Maurya Federation, let's say, University of the Seven Rays. To what extent have we found our center? And can we operate then independently of whatever circumstances, even disturbing circumstances that we may encounter in our normal environment? It's something the Western disciple especially has to do, because retreat into the cave, so to speak, is no longer the way. The preparatory school, above all things, concentrates on the development of the threefold lower man and his training and service. And such a school, let us say, as the Maurya Federation has presently constituted, is a preparation for preparation. We do try to help develop the threefold lower man without all methods at our disposal, not yet available, all those methods, but we do hope to bring about some kind of training in service. The advanced school definitely prepares for initiation and is concerned with occult lore, with the impartation of cosmic truth, and with the abstract development of the pupil, abstract above and beyond the personality, and with work on causal levels, which make the pupil successful in his or her meditation. If we could but center within the causal levels. Now, some of what goes on in the Maurya Federation does deal with occult lore. I don't think I can say preparation for initiation. That's too big a jump. But at least with the impartation of cosmic truth through study of a treatise on cosmic fire and the rays and the initiations, as we begin to climb through the different years of study, and with, to a certain extent, you know, knowledge of the spiritual triad and the building of the Antikorana. So it's pretty much a mixture, but still theoretical, for in large measure, compared to what will be possible when the Great Lord again reappears and these schools can be founded from that time and afterwards in earnest. One, that maybe that's the first one, can be best accomplished in the world of men and through contact with that world. And so hence, you know, living near a developed center or city, so that the development of the threefold lower man and training and service can be best facilitated. The work in the advanced school demands necessarily an environment of comparative seclusion and of freedom from interruption. I don't think you can undertake deep occult training when the customary interruptions of the world are knocking at your door. And since the, let's say, the California school, I think, will be one of the first to develop, and it will be an occult school, an advanced school, already thoughts about where in various mountainous regions this school could possibly be located, so as to provide reasonable seclusion and freedom from interruption. Sometimes, you know, you go to areas in California and there's a special Devic angelic quality in many places, and you can just see the future of what could be. But the worst thing, bound for lack of success, is to force the timing, force manifestation when that which must manifest cannot really yet manifest. We might express it thus. The preparatory grades deal with the kingdom of God within. Okay. Whilst the advanced school expands that training into one that includes the kingdom of God without. Now, this is interesting and not exclusively I suppose. Just the way DK imagined he would never have to deal with personalities with his students, but right away he did. So, with God immanent and with God transcendent. So the kingdom of God within, we must cultivate that in the preparatory schools. And, you know, even, let's say, in the Arcane School, in the Moria Federation, and so forth, we are cultivating that sense of the kingdom of God within. While the advanced school expands that training into one that includes the kingdom of God without. The larger divine picture, even so large as to enter the local cosmos, our solar system, and the local cosmos, to which a treatise on cosmic fire addresses itself. Therefore, the first will be situated among the working sons of men, subject to Saturn and all the working off of karma and all the fulfillment of duty, so that by his reactions and interactions in association with them, in service and struggle, the pupil may come to know himself. Okay. So hence the kind of location that a preparatory school must have. If it's somewhere in the southern Midwest, let's say, in America, then, you know, maybe cities in Texas, Austin and Dallas, you know, they offer many opportunities. Anyway, larger centers are required in order, through unexpected interaction with many encountered people, can assist with self-knowledge. That's important. Now, let's see if I've somehow, it's a know thyself situation. Of course, in a way, it doesn't really stop because there are higher aspects of the self, the soul, the triad, the monad, also to be known. The other, we're into contrast here, will be for those who have somewhat mastered these things. You know, going on to the advanced school is not a question of having achieved perfection in the lesser school. The other will be for those who have somewhat mastered these things and are ready to learn more of the other evolutions of the cosmos, the Deva Kingdom, the inhabitants of different strata within the Earth scheme, the inhabitants of different planets. But until a man is master of himself to a considerable degree, he may not safely work, for instance, with the Deva and the angel evolution. Things will get out of control and the man will become a victim of that which he fails to understand, and he won't be able to hold himself together. He won't be able to hold himself together in the face of these other beings. And that's true for the white magician as well, you know. This rigid, maybe the Tibetan would use that word, rigid control on the part of the seventh ray magician is required so that there is no, loss of capacity to regulate one's response to the presence of these beings, devic beings, who can be dangerous to the energy system of the man unless he knows how to hold himself. So in the preparatory school, he learns this mastery of his microcosm, and in the more advanced school, he can thus be trusted to make contacts with other than the human. Interesting, right? In the more advanced school, he can thus be trusted to make other contacts than the human. Even now, of course, there are people who are devically sensitive. And the schools have not even really appeared yet. In both these schools, the basic instruction is meditation in all its grades. And that's why this discussion is listed, you know, in Letters on Occult Meditation, because these are schools of meditation that are to emerge. So we might as well learn the ABCs of meditation right now, because to fit ourselves for this new type of education, it will be absolutely required. So why is this? Because in occult schools, information, clear instructions, and a conglomerate of facts are never given, nor are the exoteric textbook methods ever employed. Well, you know, in schools like the Arcane School and Maury Federation, School for Esoteric Studies, so forth, DK gives a lot of information. And maybe we couldn't call it exoteric textbook methods, but we have to stock our minds with the information that he has given. But then again, we're not yet at the stage of the new esoteric schools. But anyway, we have to, I mean, and with the internet now, this can really be fulfilled, what he's talking about here. The whole aim is only to put the student in the way of finding out for himself the needed knowledge. How? By developing the intuition through meditation and by the attainment of that measure of mental control that will permit the wisdom of the triad to pour down into the physical brain via the causal. Now, sometimes we speak, speak of bypassing the causal, and sometimes via the causal. The space dimensions of all of this have to be experienced. Anyway, putting the student to find out by himself the needed knowledge. Now, we have plenty of textbook knowledge available to us. You want the facts on almost anything, and the internet provides it. So it's a huge advantage for students of various kinds. And, you know, nowhere near in sight when this was written 100 years ago. But eventually, intuition and meditation and mental control will reveal what has to be discovered. And maybe we already have that experience and we can go hunting by ourselves for the kind of knowledge we may need and have the methods for even a deeper type of knowledge to come via meditation and the intuition. I mean, obviously, there have to have been some changes going on here from 100 years ago, but the principles hold. Therefore, in the preparatory school, emphasis will be laid on the meditation that concerns the mind and the teaching embodied in this book, and I suppose, and in the many others, and in the many others that followed, that were to follow, will be applied. Because there's plenty of teaching that Master DK has given about the factual nature of the internal life. And those kinds of facts we need to know and understand. I would say, you know, there are very few of us who have really mastered to the degree necessary through rigid disciplining the outer personal form. Think about it, you know, in your own case, and you'll find that there are deficiencies which, if the advanced schools existed now, would prevent you from moving into them. They might even prevent you from moving into the preparatory schools, because we are preparing for the preparatory now. So the emphasis will be laid on meditation that concerns the mind. Now, what type of mind? Maybe he'll tell us. This necessitates an environment wherein many and varied human contacts will be made, and where the concrete knowledge, that's it, of the world of men will be easily available. Music, libraries, lectures, enriching our mental equipment through these many contacts. For in the preparation of true occult training, the astral and mental equipping of the student will be one of the first considerations. So, you know, we are looking at the inside of what preparation means in a preparatory school. All of this has to take place in a period when things have quieted down. We have now so much rebellion, so much resistance, so much hanging on to Piscean and Sixth-ray values in the attempt to prevent entry into the Aquarian Age, that which is here foreseen would be very difficult to accomplish. But before long, and maybe it'll take about a century, that period of greater quietude can result. And within the time-space schedule of the planetary logos, we have time as long as we work in group formation. And when this has been somewhat accomplished, and the clairvoyant head of the school, notice what's required here, so that one can really see, you know, where the student stands and what the student needs. And when the clairvoyant head of the school sees that the rounding out of the lower auric egg, I suppose the causal body, not the monadic vehicle, approaches the desired point, then the pupil will pass into the more advanced school and will be taught how, from his stable center, to contact the cosmic center, and from maybe the monad, and from the point within himself to expand his consciousness till it touches the periphery of the system macrocosmic, which we can call the solar system, and embraces all that lives in an occult sense. So the clairvoyant head of the school, and maybe this is the advanced school with its clairvoyant head, comes in to supervise and sees the rounding out of the lower auric egg, that it has achieved the desired point. Then he would give permission for the pupil to pass into the more advanced school. Obviously, the head of such a school would have to be involved in that passage, right? The head of the advanced school would have to be involved in that passage. And he will be taught how, from his now stable center, it's been stabilizing in the preparatory school, to contact the cosmic center, or can we call that the monad, and from that point within himself, because it's within himself. Okay, so the cosmic center is within the advancing student, not out there, to expand his consciousness until it touches the periphery of the system, macrocosmic, and so often the question of macrocosm seems to relate to the monad or the solar system, because monad is that which finds its home within the sun in a way being the solar logos and the head of the macrocosmic system, maybe our first real macrocosmic system. There are many others, and embraces all that lives. So the inclusiveness of the great second ray of our solar logos. This necessitates, during the period of training, comparative seclusion, and this the advanced school will provide. Because these are very delicate matters, and they cannot be interrupted by the comings and goings that are common to a more interactive, externally interactive environment. So that has a lot to do with, you know, location, being more remote for the advanced schools. Therefore, the preparatory school will be located near some large city, preferably near the sea or some large expanse of water, but never within the city, and it will be on the confines of the centers of learning within the city and will be readily accessible. You know, somewhere he tells us that preparatory school has to be the equivalent of any good university plus the esoteric training. And so you know, think where are these larger expanses of water in the Midwest? I'm just right now thinking about the United States for the moment, and we might go down, you know, toward the Gulf of Mexico, and I really have to get my geography straightened out here about what larger cities down there could be utilized. But they're not so important right now as building the inner approach to the preparatory schools. Near some large city, but not in the city, and yet accessible to the centers of learning within the city. The advanced school will be far from the crowded places of the earth, and preferably in a mountainous region, for the mountains have a direct effect on the occultist and impart to him that quality of strength and steadfastness that is their predominant characteristic and must be that too of the occultist. Okay. And hence, you know, in California these days, when you look at Ojai, well, they're not really mountains, but they're quite, they are small mountains, and they give the appearance of a mountainous region. And of course, there's the whole area of the Sierras that offer some kind of possibility to the imagination when thinking about where these schools will appear, but you know, we can't put the cart before the horse. There's just so much to placate, to render more tranquil before these anticipations can become real facts on the ground. The sea, or expanse of water, close to the preparatory school, will convey to his mind a constant reminder of the purification which is his paramount work. You know, when dealing with the personality. Whilst the mountains will imbue the advanced student with cosmic strength, and will hold steadily before him the thought of the mount of initiation, which he aims soon to tread, and this would be real initiation, or the third degree. So, probably quite a few hints are given in these little indications. And that's, I don't really have a color appropriate for the mountains, but red is good, I guess. So all that's coming. But let's say every country has its issues, and the causal body of every such nation where these schools will appear has to be built to a certain point, has to be lifted to a certain height, and before the precipitation is possible, and we have to get on with that. I mean, you know, it's I find it, you know, very refreshing and kind of, you know, uplifting, imaginatively stimulating to think about these newer possibilities in a more tranquil time. But for 100 years, I think, from now, we have still much work to do in bringing about that era of peace, which will cover all of humanity and make possible true esoteric training and, in general, much better relationships, right relationships, based on peace and sharing and cleanliness, so that Christ can reappear. And we remember that unless those factors are somewhat instituted, a measure of peace, a measure of sharing economically, and the house cleaning of the religious and political groups, the Christ cannot reappear in person. So we know we have a demanding situation ahead of us. And tomorrow, he says, we'll take up the important factor of the personnel and faculty of the school, and even for the edification of those who have very much a mind that likes to see concrete precipitation, the types of building that will be utilized. I guess it becomes important for guess it becomes important for us to be able to anticipate what can appear, even if not in every particular will the precipitation be as we might anticipate. But, you know, to move in the right direction of preparation, this is important. And he's given us so many wonderful hints, you know, and then just to think from 1920 on and for another almost 30 years, he continued to write voluminously through Alice Bailey. And what a strain upon her. He joked a little bit. He said, "For me, giving you all this has been a labor of love. And for Alice Bailey, a labor." Which doesn't mean she didn't love it, you know, but still, one can just imagine what it required of her to take down the Tibetan's material when he could give it, which was not necessarily always. So she had to be on the alert, and it was a very deep inner work, and there were still other aspects of her work that she was operating with that had to do with Master K.H.'s ashram. She was really on loan to the Tibetan, and he used her extensively. But she still had work to do for Master K.H., and D.K. just kind of hints at it. I think it was very strong transmutative work, you know, transforming difficult energies into something much better and also very demanding. So this is really the work of an initiate of the third degree, which I'm sure she became, even if not that in the very beginning. And, you know, to me, she was certainly pushing the fourth degree, and I have no, in terms of renouncing so much, fourth degree in the Western world, I have no way of knowing that. But it does seem that it was a life that could be characterized by the idea of great renunciation, which is the name of the initiation of the fourth degree. So we'll work further soon. So here we are, we've finished program 69 on the 19th of February, 21, and we've gone as far as page 314, and we'll begin with program 70 at our next occasion, whether it's tonight or whenever it might be. But I, as usual, put the X's in there because I just don't know. Okay. Plenty to think about, plenty to prepare for, and the more systematically we prepare, the greater the future success. So we will wish you lots of love and many blessings, and benefit from your deepening studies and deepening meditation and success in your service, that spontaneous outflow of soul radiation, spontaneous outflow of a loving heart. and we'll see you soon. Okay. Bye-bye for now.